We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams with their help. They can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Busy Saturday night. We began the show talking about the alleged white power signs flashed by Army cadets and naval midshipmen at Philadelphia's home to one of the great sports spectacles, Army-Navy football game every year. It's become a political topic since it happened, and everybody's just piling on. Navy and Army, West Point and Annapolis are looking into it, trying to find out the intent. We're joking around. We're on TV. And I know some of you say, well, you rush to judgment, but then you're defending them. I'm not defending them. I'm saying the hand gesture. Unless you can prove somebody is a white supremacist and part of a group, you can't lump them in, especially Army-Navy game. Nothing's laughable about racism, but what is going on in this country and how we reference social network, Corey? And I go back to what the Anti-Defamation League said. There shouldn't be a rush to judgment because of the multiple meanings of the gesture. The okay. Well, the white power. I'm still trying to figure out how you get the P out of that, but the okay sign upside down. So the Cubs can't fly the W? What? And it's in sports. This is something that happened at a football game. I'm not getting political because the politics drew it in because Trump, I'm telling you, if Trump was not there, it's not an issue. Bottom line. That football game should be about American men and women who are making a commitment, who are appointed to the Naval Academy and to West Point, who may go die for their country. And instead, we got to find out what a hand gesture meant. Wow. So you can comment on that. Also, Joe Burrow, 90% of the vote, I don't think there's any debate that he was the best player in college football. Fields from Ohio State, I thought, was the second best player, but Jalen Hurts, who had a bigger name, and also what he has done for Alabama and Oklahoma, taking two different schools to the college football Final Four. He finished second. Chase Young, who's saying he's going to come back. I don't know why he would come back and play. He's going to be number two pick. Maybe he doesn't want to play with the Giants. Seriously. Hey, you want to wait to see another team cycle into the top two or three. So we'll talk NFL. I'll also deliver a huge opinion on Major League Baseball, and the CBSSports.com headline reads, MLB threatening to abandon the minor leagues entirely. And they're in a big dispute over control. They want to cut 42 cities out. And I'll deliver a huge opinion on that before the end of the hour. You can join in at 1-855-212-4-CBS. That's 1-855-212-4227. Also, I'll read some tweets. You can tweet me anytime you want to. At Saturday Huge on Twitter, we have Horowitz, McKeon. I heard another voice. Is there another voice back there, Horowitz, I'm not giving love to?
Yeah, we've got Luke Diamond training tonight.
Is he going to an all-male review after 2 o'clock?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the late night happy hour with Luke Diamond.
He's the opening act for Marash. Oh, Marash is going out there topless.
Oh my, yeah, Marash in a thong. That alone, that's like Godzilla coming down Fifth Avenue. Hey, Luke Diamond. Hey, ladies, wave your dollars in the air for Luke Diamond.
Now on stage two, Sean Marash.
Sean Marash. I know you want me. I know I want you. Luke Diamond and Sean Marash at the Old Ladies Club on Jersey Shore. It's the male hurricane review. Oh, Luke Diamond. All right, couple things. A, that's not his real name. B, is he hiding out from anybody?
I don't know if that's his radio name. I don't know if that's like a, you know, like you said, a witness protection program. If he's trying to get into the WWE, I don't know what it is.
Well, I know he was talking to me during the last break. That's why I said I heard a new voice. He's like, hey, how you doing? I'm Luke Diamond. Yeah, I just started working here. Oh, gosh. I wish I could make this up. You know, Marash, he has to take another job as a male stripper, and that's what he has to do. They call him the Dollar Daddy. Oh, late nights on CBS Sports Radio with Luke Diamond and Sean Marash. Your late night dream duo. I wish I could make this stuff up. People think you're crazy. Now let's go to Mike in Maryland. Thanks for the wait. You're on the Saturday Night Healed Show.
Thanks, Bill, for taking my call. I'm a Vietnam vet, and we all serve. People don't realize that servicemen all over the world follow that game. I was on an aircraft carrier. We stopped flight ops to listen to the game. But the thing people are forgetting, these are midshipmen and cadets. They've agreed to serve the country. What happened? That sign could be upside down. Mom and Dad, I'm okay. I'm on TV. Anybody think of that?
Hey, you know, Mike, buddy, I appreciate the call of Maryland. It's become a national conversation. Instead of how great the game was, Navy snapped Army's 3-game win streak, that they could join to fight for freedom, protect America. But no, it became political. I'm telling you, because Trump was there. If Trump's not there today, they're trying to portray that, again, you don't know the intent. Nobody does knows the intent of what these guys did. And they're trying to portray that it's white power and, oh my God, our military academies are out of control. Tony in Green Bay, Wisconsin, you're on the Saturday Night Healed Show.
Hey, thanks for letting me call here. You kind of said it right. I mean, you did say that it happened because Trump was there, or it became political because Trump was there. And that is completely why I think that the cadet did what he did. I would hear that point that he didn't know what he was doing or there's other meanings. That would have been like back in like 10 years ago. But that's not what that hand gesture means now. There's a campaign advisor for Trump, Stephen Miller, who uses that sign, who has been, and he's a known racist, who uses that sign.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm not going to, and thanks for the call from Green Bay, I'm not going to go through Trump's cabinet, okay? We're not going to be conspiracy 101. So basically what you're implying there from Green Bay, Tony, is that what some are saying, that our military academies are becoming a machine to crank out white supremacists. Oh, my gosh. I mean, I'm like, what? So if a white guy at a basketball game holds up both hands, and sometimes it's leaning down up, and he's holding it up for a three-pointer, we know the intent, right? If a guy's behind, which, by the way, I think theirs was upside down, so that would be an M, not a W. If I remember one of the hands from the viral video from the Army-Navy football game. It's just, it's fascinating that the okay gesture, okay? The okay gesture from the circle game to what it reads from Wikipedia for what it's worth. In 2017, users on the message board site 4chan aimed to convince the media that the OK gesture was being used as a white power movement symbol. According to the Boston Globe, users on 4chan's politically incorrect board were instructed in February 2017 to flood Twitter and other social media websites claiming that the OK hand sign is a symbol of white supremacy as part of a campaign dubbed Operation OKKK. Wow. So, flood Twitter. What have people referenced a couple times on the show? Well, I saw it on Twitter, so it must be real. So you get this saying what the OK gesture symbol means, yet you then say, oh my God, the white supremacists adopted it. They adopted it, and it means white supremacy at Army Navy. That a guy's going to risk his whole career doing that? Really? I just don't buy it. I don't. The intent. I go back to the start of this show. The intent. Do you think those midshipmen or cadets on TV, their intent was to say, we stand together as white supremacists? Do you really buy that during the Army-Navy football game? Jeff in Baltimore, Maryland, you're on the Saturday Night Healed Show.
How you doing?
How you doing, buddy?
Hello, how you doing?
Doing good.
Yeah, it's Jeff from calling from Baltimore. Yeah, I've been listening to you. Basically, I've gotten my information from listening to your program. And I know things like this exist, but I can't say, you know, whether, you know, I can, but the Navy is bigger than that one person or what have you. Let me tell you like this. I'll make long story short. When Barack Obama was elected president, I cried because I was so proud of this country. And I think this country as a whole is not thinking on those type terms. I know that kind of stuff exists. And another thing, real briefly, I have a roommate. He's a white dude. Which it doesn't matter. He has a heart of gold. He's from a part of the county where, quote unquote, people were a little more racist. But I'm just trying to say, long story short, that we can't feed into everything, and then don't get all your information from social media.
Thank you.
And I understand what you're saying.
If it comes out that we need to look at things, Jeff, and thanks for the call in Baltimore, buddy. I appreciate it. We need to go look at situations. And we jump the gun. I've done it and do it in the media. You do it on your social networks. You may do it with your friends, your family, your coworkers, whatever. I don't care the color of your skin, your religion. I don't care what part of America or Canada you're listening right now. But why don't we wait and look at the intent? All right, you know, just they're white supremacists. Immediately, that's on Twitter and Facebook. And then what happens now is newspapers and what's left of them or their online counterparts. Here's white supremacy. You don't know. If it comes out that these guys are racist and have racist backgrounds, so be it. Then they should be disciplined. They should be kicked out. But man, I'm going to side with you're at an Army-Navy football game, and that's going to be the place that you're going to cheer for black and white and Asian and Hispanic players who represent the Naval Academy and midshipmen, but you're going to flash white supremacist signs? It doesn't equate. It just doesn't. Let's go to Ryan in Minnesota. Thanks for the wait. You're on the Saturday Night Healed Show.
Hey, Bill. Thanks for taking my call. I'm 27. I guess I haven't seen a whole lot, but in this time of age, it's a little scary when sports are something that is supposed to bring all of us together, and they somehow find a way to divide us, whether it's something as little as like the OK sign, which if you want, you can go on YouTube, look up the OK sign, and that's a sign for the Illuminati, because I don't know, a conspiracy came out of that. And it's just being able to manipulate these things to create a divide for people. And it's a scary thing. Like, I always thought that, like, hey, this Saturday, we don't have any other football games. We get this football game. It's an amazing sporting event. It should be celebrated. We have the President's Cup. We have all these things that sports bring us together as a whole. And it's scary that now these politics are starting to roll into it and creating a divide between us as Americans when this should be celebrated. And I don't know. It's just, it's scary for me to sit and watch this happen.
It is sad. You know, it's not scary. And thank you, Ryan, in Minnesota. It's just sad that that's where we're at as a country. The great divide, black, white, everything's black, white. Yes, there are racists. There are horrible stories of racism that need to be dealt with. But because your skin is white, you're not part of some white supremacist group. If you did vote for Trump, that doesn't mean you're a racist. If you voted for the other side, that's your business. But man, this was Army Navy. And going after midshipmen and cadets, saying that they flashed white supremacist, white power at Army Navy. No way. If I'm proved wrong, then I'll be the first to talk about it next week on this show. You can join in 1-855-212-4CBS. That's 1-855-212-4227. At Saturday Huge on Twitter and Saturday Night Huge Show on Facebook.
Huge is America's voice on sports. This is the Saturday Night Huge Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Horowitz, Graceffo, Luke Diamond back at CBS Sports Radio in New York City. Dexter will have an update here in just about 5 minutes. Huge questions of the night. You can comment on the Army-Navy midshipmen cadets. Do you think that was a white power symbol or just guys jacking around? You can comment on that. No debate out there. 90% of the vote. Joe Burrow, the best player in college football in 2019. Fields would have the best case. But Hurts taking another team to the college football playoff. That's probably why he finished second in the voting. I will also touch on the huge four in the NFL coming up before Mirage. And the top of the hour, four best teams in the National Football League. No one can debate. It's Baltimore. New England can't find any offense. And I'll deliver a huge opinion about Major League Baseball trying to hijack minor league baseball and also bring the corporate effect to 42 cities where they want to take away minor league stadiums. I think the minor league should band together and form their own baseball league. There's all outlets for TV and have your own levels and make Major League Baseball build their own AAA ballparks. You know, you look at it, they've had a basic free ride with these cities building these stadiums, and now they want control because they want to, they see what the NBA is doing with building up the G League. I mean, how long before the NFL is going to, instead of college football, which is their feeder system where they don't have to pay anything to these universities, before they have a league that would be their feeder league? That's why when that AAF was going, and we talked about it last spring, I'm like, that would be the perfect NFL AAA. You have all these TV networks, a way to make more money and build your brand. And that's why Major League Baseball, at the end of the day, they want to control minor league baseball. They want to cut costs and they want to eliminate teams. And I think they have a master plan to totally hijack it one day. So we'll get to that coming up in a few moments. You want to join us, like I said, 1-855-212-4CBS. That's 1-855-212-4227. At Saturday Huge on Twitter, Saturday Night Huge Show on Facebook. Let's go to Dom in Chicago, listening on AM 670, The Score. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
How you doing?
Hey, Dom, what's happening, my friend?
Not much. I just wanted to say, you know, I don't think that, you know, you should, well, people should be so quick to dismiss it. Now, I don't technically agree with it, but my reasoning is because with the whole Colin Kaepernick thing, the kneel was noticed because it was out of place. Everybody stands during the anthem. He kneeled, it was out of place. People called him anti-American until it was explained, and then came to be an actual soldier actually advised him to do it. And then he was actually standing for something that was an actual problem in the country. Excuse me. Now, the midshipmen, whatever, maybe they are playing the game, but you said yourself that 90% of them are smarter, more disciplined, and all that, so why would they be playing this game? And secondly, even if they were having fun, then so be it. But I don't think that everybody should be so dismissive, saying that the country is sensitive now and this and that, when this could be a major issue. That was my point.
Well, thank you, Dom. And I always, and bless you, my friend. And thanks for calling us, listening in Chicago on AM 670, The Score. And I get taken out of context. Colin Kaepernick kneeling or sitting during the national anthem wasn't the issue that really inflamed and created a division. Divide's been a word used a lot, Dom, today on the show. Divided on whether that's a white symbol, power, or whether the military academies are racist factories. It was what Kaepernick said, what the flag stood for. It stood for bloodshed on the streets of America, that police were modern-day slave patrols, that he wore the pig socks. And it was, a lot of guys sat. A lot of guys did. And they didn't say anything negative about law enforcement or the flag, but they in unison protested, and they didn't get a lot of heat for it. They didn't. You know, it was taking on law enforcement. That was a big part of it. I think most of America respects 98% of the great men and women in law enforcement. So that's the Kaepernick. But a lot with Kaepernick, he has a right to his opinion. When you look at what some of the guys have done and been allowed to play in the NFL again and not Kaepernick, yeah, I see that side of it. You know, we need to step back and evaluate things together. Our own opinion. Actually have some, okay, this is why I was upset with Kaepernick, the pig socks and the way he took on law enforcement. That's where I was upset. Was I upset that he kneeled? That he sat? That we're this society where everyone, you know, I watch people at games. I'm telling kids at a high school basketball game last night to be quiet during the national anthem. I'm the old guy. Had nothing to do with color of skin, just kids being knuckleheads, right? And even the Anti-Defamation League, which is there to help fight bigotry, they said you can't jump to conclusions. And that's all we've done today. You know, some will say, well, you're jumping to conclusion that they didn't flash the white power sign. Because I've never seen it flashed. Except the Cubs game with Glanville, where the fans were banned for life. And this, I've never seen it flashed. I have to look it up online. And there's a okay gesture debate. I've never seen it flashed. Never. And some will say, well, you know, the killer in New Zealand flashed. Oh, really? You got to connect the cadets to that. Or guys at a Cubs game. And there's the circle game, there's the okay gesture, there's, well, it has to be up, down, sideways, I mean, a position right. Come on. We're all bigger than this. You want to join us live? 1-855-212-4CBS. That's 1-855-212-4227. At Saturday Huge on Twitter. I will read the tweets, even the ones ripping me. I'm an equal opportunity offender. I'll read those coming up in my final segment.
It's the Saturday Night Huge Show. Once again, here's Bill Huge Simonson.
You can join in during the final segment. Marash is meeting with his production team. They just had filet and baked potatoes catered in. He'll deliver his award-winning 4 hours in less than 20 minutes. We have the A-team minus Graceffo. Horowitz, McKeon, Luke Diamond, who actually just cut a country record during the last break and will be debuting his new hit single next week called NYC, so it's pretty catchy. He's a male stripper and a country singer. Luke Diamond also produced him. Our toll-free line, 1-855-212-4227, is brought to you by GEICO. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance at geico.com. The guy said I didn't read that like 20 minutes ago, and I did read it. So either Luke Diamond, the D stands for death, or McKeon was busy eating his pastrami sandwich because Horowitz had to adjourn and use the private facilities. But I read it again because I'm a team player.
And a pro's pro. Thank you, Bill.
And I won't just back the bus up over everybody. I won't do that. I'm all about being a... And Marash taught me well on how to be a team player. By the way, speaking of Marash, I'm sure he's going to talk about Chase Young as saying that he's going to come back. The only reason, there was two of them I was talking with McKeon. Two reasons. Either he doesn't want to play for the Giants, but he's going to be guaranteed top two pick. Burrow, who won the Heisman, you know he's going to go to the Bengals. They need a hero in Cincinnati. They do. They need a hero. They need a hero. I think he's going to be great with the fans. He's an Ohio guy. I mean, it's just a perfect story for the next decade in Cincinnati. You know, did play at Ohio State. You know, Athens, you know, Southeast Ohio. I mean, it's just... So then Chase Young's going to be the surefire number two pick. The Giants, when they were up 17-3 on Philly, you could hear the audible on NFL Mic'd Up where they're like, guys, we need to let Philly come back and win. We're going to lose Chase Young. So there's no way he's going to stay. But then McKeon had a good point that Chase Young, because this wasn't his day, and he should have finished higher in the Heisman voting. I agree with McKeon that this was all about Joe Burrow, so Chase Young gets headlines. And I'm sure Marash will talk about that, because the NFL is shaping up to be very interesting with the meteoric rise of the Baltimore Ravens at 12-2. The resurgent Kansas City Chiefs, who look good at New England. And then Horowitz and I were talking about the Patriots, and I said, Brady has no receivers. And then he's like, wait a minute. Isn't the Brady mystique that he's Tom Brady no matter who's around him, like Jordan, he makes everybody great? Well, if you're going to take Edelman out of the equation right now, they have zero receivers in New England. And Brady does look old, and he's getting old. And we're thinking it's Tom Brady from last year that eventually it's going to catch up. They're 10-3. They've benefited from a great schedule and the fact that the Jets, even though the Jets are, can I say, resurgent, and Miami, who isn't as bad as their 3-10 record lately. And Buffalo's 9-4. I did predict Buffalo as a playoff team if you listen to the show back in August. So the Ravens are going to get home field advantage. I think Tennessee is the best team in the AFC South. And you don't want to play Mahomes, even if you're Baltimore. But I don't know, how does anybody beat Baltimore at home? How does anybody beat Lamar Jackson the rest of the way? Well, who's there to get him? Who from the NFC? What? Dallas and Philadelphia at 6-7. The Giants, Washington at 3-10, 2-11. That's just a mess. I think Urban Meyer will be the coach of the Cowboys next year. That's my huge prediction, but a lot of people have said that. Hands down, you know, Coach Zeke, Dak Prescott, read run pass option. You got Cooper, get him healthy. They have the weapons, good offensive line. I think he'll walk into that situation, get $8, $9, $10 million a year from Jerry Jones, and let's go. Urban Meyer will be the next coach of the Cowboys. You know, Green Bay's not stopping Lamar. Dallas or Philly's not stopping Lamar. New Orleans not stopping Lamar. Niners, who, you know, it was a tough game in the rain there in Baltimore, might be the only team. That might be the only team. Rams are starting to play some better football. Minnesota's off the radar at 9-4. Hey, you know, I look at the NFC and is it that good? Is it really? Because all the teams have had their moments where you're like, oh, I'm not sure. Even New Orleans. Baltimore's just a great story. Lamar Jackson will change the game. He's going to open the door for Jalen Hurts. He's going to open the door for Fields when he's done at Ohio State. And more power to him, because Lamar Jackson is must-see TV. I don't care who you root for. Lamar Jackson is must-see TV. I can't get enough of the guy. You know, and he seems to always give props to his line. You know, he's won the Heisman. The guy has been decorated for every level of football he's ever played, and rightfully so. And it's Michael Vick. But the one thing you have to watch out for, remember when Vick went into the snow at Green Bay, and I forget what year it was in the playoffs, but the minute Atlanta tried to make Michael Vick a pocket-passing West Coast offense QB, and they didn't let him run like he did at Votek or early on in his NFL career, that's when he became average. And the longevity of that style of QB who runs a ton, over 1,000 yards rushing for Jackson, you're not going to get into your late 30s doing that. You're going to be lucky to get, I would think, 7 to 10 years out of a quarterback. But, hey, you're in it. Baltimore may win it all this year. He'll take. You can ride one Super Bowl forever. Ask the Super Bowl shuffle 85 Bears. Horowitz, what do you think? You think Chase Young is just bluffing and just wanted attention? He's not going to forego being the second overall pick to come back to Ohio State. No way.
No, because I'm sure his agent is screaming that, because just look at Tua this year. I mean, that's what you're risking. You're a surefire top two pick. You don't go back to college. And if you do, you risk a devastating injury like Tua, and who knows where Tua ends up in the draft. But the truth of the matter is, it kind of got overblown with the headline. I mean, he came back out today and just said, look, I'm spitballing. I'm really just focused on Clemson right now. I think that you got a young man, you know, he's not a kid, but a young man who's thrust into New York City probably for the first time in his life, dealing with more media than he's ever dealt with in his life, thinking about the prospect that he's going to be making tens of millions of dollars for the first time in his life. He's going to say some wrong things. He's definitely coming out.
And the reason why this story got legs, he's in New York for the Heisman ceremony, and chances are he's going to be a giant by May 1.
There were giant beat writers that were following him around New York for media appearances.
That's what I mean.
There were Giants practices going on, and Lord knows the vultures are circling here in New York around the Giants, and beat writers are leaving the facility and spending all day with Chase freaking Young.
Because he's going to be the next LT. You know, you got Saquon, you got Jones, who's shown enough. That's why somebody would say, well, what about Meyer to the Giants? I said, no, Jones isn't the type of quarterback for his run-pass option. It's not. So he's not going there. I don't think Urban Meyer. Shermer's done, I would think, right?
More than likely. The only saving grace is the fact that Jones has progressed a little, and that's what he's going to lean his hat on. But what ownership should look at is that he turned to Jones pretty quickly in the year after two games, because he knew his ass was on the line and he wanted this crutch to lean on.
That's a good point. That, you know, he could have played Eli to go, well, right now, 6-7 and be tied for first.
Exactly. He went to Jones as early as possible. And I get you got to get the kid experience, you know, that Eli's on his way out. But after two games, it's not like Eli was out there, you know, throwing picks left and right. I mean, he went to Jones because he knew that that was his saving grace to another year on the job. And I don't know if the plan ended up working for him.
And the way, and some of his play calling and use of timeouts and game management, it was really, he looked lost. He did. And then you're up 17-3 with Eli playing because Jones is hurt. And then it looked like they tanked the game because they realized we're going to lose Chase Young if we win this game. We could. And, I'm watching it 17-3. I'm telling my buddies, guarantee Philly wins. They're like, oh, no, man, Giants. I go, trust me, when this game's over, Eagles win. They don't want to give up Chase Young. And look at you. Well, you were just saying the beat writers following Chase Young all around during the, you know, the Heisman press junket and everything. And the only coach out there would be if they would move Ron Rivera in, right?
Or McCarthy.
Yeah, McCarthy's a hot prospect. He was a guy I was saying for the Lions because he knows the NFC North and maybe he'd want to get back at the Packers. That, you know, because Matt Patricia's completely lost, and it seems like more players are coming out, former players talking about not just being bitter guys, but Patricia was, you know, trying to run it like the Patriots locker room, but you can't do that and keep talking about where you were and not build trust with your players. I like McCarthy coming to Detroit because he could stick it to Green Bay one day. That's why I like McCarthy in Detroit. I think if Patricia gets blown out by Tampa Bay at home, which could happen. Their offense has been clicking. I think the Ford family will fire him Sunday night, Monday morning. That's my, I don't have any sources on, that's just my gut vibe that, you know, they were 9-7. It wasn't good enough with Jim Caldwell. They fired him 6-10. And you look at the Lions and they could end up picking third when it's all said and done. If teams lose in front of them, the Lions could be the third worst team in the NFL this year. Yeah, he got injuries, but they were playing bad on defense before Stafford got hurt. So my vote is for McCarthy in Detroit. And I think you keep Shurmur one more year. I agree with you because Shurmur's going to go to management and say, wait a minute. You know, I put Jones in to get him seasoned for next year. We got Saquon, and we're going to get Chase Young. You have to give me another year.
But boy, does he need to learn out, as you pointed out. He needs to learn how to manage a game.
Nah, but that could cost him. And this goes back to Ron Rivera, where you get a defensive-minded guy, Chase Young, Saquon, your building blocks with Jones. I mean, that's a pretty solid foundation. It is. So we'll see how it plays out. Enjoy your Sunday in the NFL with your Giants. Horowitz, thank you, McKeon. Thank you, Luke Diamond. Good luck with the country music and male dancing career. The guy that taught you everything about male dancing, Sean Marash, is coming up 24/7. Drop your huge opinions at Saturday Huge on Twitter.